Ariel Helwani's MMA show is presented by Modelo. Brewed for those with a fighting spirit.
Today's episode of Ariel Helwani's MMA show contains explicit language that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
There are only two mics.
Ariel and I in our first ever show.
Wait. Can we do the show?
Yeah.
Okay. Troy, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
In your life on this Wednesday, March 11, 2020. Hello again, everyone. I'm Ariel Helwani. Back in New York City. All is well here. Great to be here for another Wednesday edition of the show. We got a great show planned for all of you later in the program. Filthy Tom Lawler. Yes, Filthy Tom Lawler is going to break some news, so stay tuned for that. Also, we will be debuting a new segment with Mark Raimondi. We'll hear from TST. We got a lot going on, but without further ado, you know who's sitting like right in front of me? Literally 2 centimeters away from me? Chael P.
I'll give you a clue. It's me.
Chael P in the house.
And this Mark Raimondi, you referenced earlier. You know, yes. He's a trust fund baby.
Like Josh Gross?
Yes. Very rich. Very rich guy.
Right. Well, it's good to have you here.
Why? We're not supposed to discuss the trust fund?
I don't know. Cause I actually, to take a step back, you said this to me on Friday in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I asked him if this was true.
Mm-hmm.
He was borderline offended.
Sure.
And denied
sure.
all allegations.
Yeah,
Why do you feel like he's a trust fund
man
baby?
Of the people type thing, right? Like, right. I'm going to do it on my own. You know, be damned the will my grandmother left me.
But why do you feel like this is something that is actually true?
It's a bit. It's a work. It's hilarious.
Okay. All right.
Yes,
I didn't know.
It's funny.
Mark Raimondi being a trust fund baby is
funny.
Yeah,
you go to Starbucks, there's 4 or 5 guys, you know, you just point to him when you're, hey, put it on his tab.
He's the trust fund baby.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, take out your black Amex card. No, it's a whole bit. It's a whole routine. I thought you were in on it with me.
No, I didn't know.
Now I'm left over here on an island by myself. You know what? Screw you, Helwani. Let's get to the show. What did you want to talk about?
He wears he wears wrestling t-shirts. He's a grown man. He still wears wrestling t-shirts.
Professional wrestling ones?
Yes.
Like JYD, Roddy Piper, that
no,
type era?
Like, even worse than that,
don't tell me the new guys.
Yes,
no!
Contemporary. Even worse.
Seth Rollins.
Yes.
No!
He wears like that kind of stuff.
Oh!
Orange Cassidy. What?
Sure.
He's wearing AEW, not even WWE, AEW t-shirts.
Sure.
Probably even worse.
Yeah, bum wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, both companies are. Actually, both companies are really putting out some rotten garbage these days.
You're down on it.
Well, I enjoy professional wrestling, not sports entertainment, and there is a place for both. I don't hate sports entertainment. That's what, but yeah, I wish they would bring back a little bit more wrestling.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Who's your favorite right now?
Oh, as of right, well, I mean, if I ever cheer, it would be for Ronda.
She doesn't even wrestle.
In all fairness, but she took that break ever since WrestleMania and still hasn't been back. Okay, well, I guess I've been off the scene for a little bit.
Right. Becky Lynch, you're not a fan?
Sure. No, I like Becky. She is a jabroni.
What about?
Was a jabroni. No, I don't think that's true anymore. She's won me over.
Why?
Seth Rollins is a fantastic athlete, by the way. I mean, an actual athlete. You want to know who I met that was a really nice guy to me? So I like him was Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people say, oh, that guy's cocky. That guy's breast. Man, my one experience, that dude couldn't have been nicer.
Really?
Yeah, great guy.
I've heard he's changed since getting married again.
Okay,
that's
good
what
for
I was
him.
Told. But I just want to know
calm down a little bit?
Yeah, calm down, not as aggressive.
And Jericho, of course. I mean, I'd be remiss to not give a shout out to Jericho.
But why did Becky go from a jabron to now a non-jabron?
You know, she never changed. It was me that changed. She stayed with it. She stayed with the character and the gimmick, but I finally got it. It took a little bit of time. A little bit of the Covington effect. I mean, a lot of people have gone through that with Colby where they, you know, were annoyed at him and now they're all wearing his t-shirts. I mean, it's a real thing.
Yeah. How about Shayna Baszler?
Yeah.
Who saw this coming?
Yeah, I mean, she does a great job. She's worked hard.
Did you see this coming?
Yeah, no, I didn't, but she's worked hard her whole life. I'm glad to see something good happen to Shayna.
Does Josh deserve all the credit for this, Josh Barnett?
All the credit. I think he's instrumental, and I think she's more than generous to make sure his name gets mentioned and pays it. So, yeah, I think that's fair. But, you know, she deserves a lot, too. Her life has not been simple. I mean, she was somebody with a goal. She's really a winning story. I like Shayna. You know, I've never met her, by the way.
Never?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting here talking to you like world friend. No, I just know her from a distance, but I'm impressed.
Wow. You never been on the same card as her or anything like
nope.
that? Wow, that's surprising. Well, Chael, it's good to have you here in person.
Great
Why are
to
you?
Have me
yes.
here.
There's a lot that I wanted to talk about. We just kind of got into things. So you're here because you're working the Bellator show on Friday at Mohegan Sun.
Right.
You came early to do Ariel and the Bad Guy.
Right.
But I'm getting a real inside look. I wish this was a video podcast on Wednesday. You know about you like the Wednesday podcast sometimes more than the Monday podcast I heard because like you like the stripped down version.
Sure.
It's just audio. But I wish it was a video one because I'm getting a real behind the scenes look at Bad Guy Inc.
Ah, we're having some fun.
Well, we're breaking the fourth wall
here. Sure, let it down.
So what are we in eight? I don't know. What is this? A 10x5?
Sure. Five by five, maybe.
5x5.
It's pretty tight in here.
It's tight. And it's me and you sitting here. You've got massive arms, right? I'm, you know, just kind of a big guy in general.
Sure.
And we're also being joined by your cameraman, the real brains behind Bad Guy Inc. He's actually in the room. The great Ryan Parsons is here.
Dr. Parsons.
Dr. Ryan Parsons.
Yes.
Who for the longest time I thought was actually Jewish. I found out he's not Jewish.
The Craig Basari of Submission Underground, nonetheless.
That's him.
Yes.
What a claim to fame.
That is actually a claim to fame.
Yes.
You know, I've tried to tell Craig things like that before. Like, you cannot compliment Craig. He doesn't know how to take it. But so many people admire him. So many people, like, know what a brain he is, or they know. Like, he has a really rare skill.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably five people alive that could do what Craig Basari does. But if you ever try to compliment or go, hey, man, this guy really respects me. Like, he gets... He doesn't handle compliments that well.
Yeah.
He gets shy about
He's sort of like the head of production for the UFC, for those that don't know.
Which is like the hardest job on earth, in all fairness. You know how many buildings internationally he has to know the schematics of at all times? If you go in his office, he has like blueprints, and it's like, what's that? Oh, that's Cork Stadium. Why do you have that in your office? Well, I'm running fiber optics out of there right now. It's like, Craig, I don't even know what you're saying, but I'm going to leave now. Good job.
So you have this incredible thing going on with Bad Guy Inc. and your YouTube channel and your podcast and all this stuff, and regular fans may not know this, but the brains behind it all is the guy who helped shape many great MMA careers, Ryan Parsons.
Yes.
This guy, I mean, I remember him when he was managing and coaching the likes of Mayhem Miller and King Mo Lawal. I mean, the list goes on, like real great personalities in the sport. How the hell did this happen?
He actually got Pat Cummins. You've heard that story of how Dana White needed an opponent.
There's a story about that fight, and I see Ryan in the corner of my eye smiling. There's a story about that fight that's never been told.
Sure, what is it?
Should I say it right here and now?
Now.
I was saving it for the book.
Do it right now, or I might do it because I'm not sure what the story is. So
I was saving it for the book, Highway to Helwani.
Okay.
Out in stores in 2021.
You did something to help that Pat Cummins fight?
I made that fight, Chael.
Go on.
Okay. Ryan, do you disagree with me right now? Ryan's not, okay, he's saying that he agrees with me. I made that fight, Chael. Do you want to know the real story behind that fight?
Heck yeah,
we're going in a whole different, okay. UFC 170, for those that don't know, Daniel Cormier is about to make his light heavyweight debut. He's about to fight Rashad Evans.
Yep.
10 days before the fight, he finds out that Rashad Evans has injured his knee. He calls me, devastated. I'm cutting down to 205 for the first time. Remember, this was a big deal because in the Olympics, he tried to make weight.
Sure.
Went to the hospital, et cetera. That was 211, if I believe.
211
right?
pounds,
yeah. Yeah, 211. So, devastated. I've got all my family coming from Louisiana. Everyone wants to see me fight. Big fight. Rashad Evans, legend, all this stuff. And the UFC is telling me I can't get a replacement. They can't find someone to fight me on 10 days' notice, right? At the same time, there's a young man named Ryan Parsons, manager extraordinaire, who continues to bother me about this up-and-comer named Pat Cummins. No one wants to fight Pat Cummins. No one wants to fight this guy. Oh, he's 4-0. World Series of Fighting won't sign him. Bellator won't sign him. No one wants to fight Pat Cummins. Like, how good is Pat Cummins, really? But, I mean, I respect his opinion. He's credible,
sure.
Correct? So this is what we concoct the plan. Start tweeting DC, okay? Start tweeting DC. So Cummins, who has at this point like 300 Twitter followers, is like tweeting him, I'm going to make you cry like I made you cry and all the stuff. We concoct this plan that came to fruition, right? The next day, I call Dana White, all right, UFC President Dana White, back when we were on speaking terms, right?
the elephant in the room.
Yes. And I say to him, what are you going to do about DC? And we can't find a replacement. He's getting his kids to school. I'll never forget this. I said, you can't find him a replacement. I got your replacement. He said, who is it? I said, do you know who Pat Cummins is? He said, no. I said, Pat Cummins used to train with Daniel Cormier at the Olympic Training Center. He made him cry when they used to train together. He said, are you serious? I said, yes. He said to me, would he tell that story on camera? I said, I think so. We didn't really talk about that part, but I was just like, why not? He said, get me his manager's info right now. Call up Ryan Parsons. At this point, it's probably like 8 a.m. Pacific time. I said, Dana White's going to call you right now. You need to get Pat Cummins on the phone, and he needs to tell him that he's going to tell the story on camera that he made him cry.
Made Daniel cry.
4 or so hours later, the fight was made.
Wow. I did not know that part of it. I love that piece of it. My own favorite part, and great job on that, by the way. I mean,
Ryan, are you okay with me telling that story?
You have to change somebody's life.
Sure. What? What'd you say?
He said there was a little bit more to it, but I think that's
okay,
where I'm going to come in right now. But when Dana needed to make that, he just needs to hear your voice. That's like Dana code. I need to hear your voice. Tell me yes or no. And so Pat was working. He was a barista. It might have even been a Starbucks, but some kind of a coffee chain. Ryan had to go through the drive-thru because he called and the manager refused to put Pat on the phone. So Ryan had to go through the drive-thru, get a coffee, get to the window, yell, hey, get me that guy, hey, Pat, guess who this is? It's Dana White. Dana said, you want to take this fight? And he said, yeah. And Dana said, are you really working at a coffee shop right this second? Pat said, yeah. And Dana said, all right, I want you to do this. Hang up, turn to your manager, take your apron off, and tell him I quit. I'm winning the UFC. And he did. And Pat didn't even have a car. Like, he had a bike there.
Right, right.
You know, he was turning, like, into a workout. Had to get. Pat was a great story. Pat might have been one of these guys. And as great as his career was, and you could see the tough, regardless of wins and losses, but you could see spots in every single Pat Cummins fight. We go, whoa, that guy does this really well, or he does that really well. But he did get a late start. You know, he was in his 30s, just got a late start. And what kind of induction is walking right into a co-main event against Daniel Cormier?
Yeah.
Tough draw.
Kind of got smoked.
Yeah,
it was a bit of a letdown, right? The fight was a bit of a letdown in the end, UFC 170. But a great story. I came to him. I don't even know how we got into that. Oh, you working with Ryan. How did this actually happen, you guys working together on all your stuff? Because you're killing it. Every fighter comes up to us and they're like, who just said it? Oh, Paul Felder gets into the car on Friday. We're going to the Wayne's. Like, I saw your video about me. Everyone references your videos. How did this actually happen?
I appreciate that. Ryan just called up one day. He was in California. I live in Oregon. He said, hey, I got this idea. Let's both pitch in this amount. Let's get some equipment and let's get going. It was more of like a podcast, and then ultimately turned into videos and some of the YouTubes and some other ways to gain exposure out there. But that was really all it was. We were just two friends. We like hanging out and talking. So he started turning the camera on, asking me a question, and I'd answer it and we'd film it.
But when
we didn't reinvent the wheel.
That set that you have, which I've told you I love, mm-hmm. right, with the lights and all that, that's in your hometown.
That is a half mile from my house. Yeah. Yeah. We built that. Actually, Ryan and I with our hands and did not know what we were doing.
So like we built the ESPN Plus.
Yes. But if we try to impress anybody here at this Seaport beautiful studio that we built a studio, they would not be impressed. That's what they do. But I can tell you for guys in Oregon where we don't have studios, we don't have soundboards, we don't have, I mean, any of the equipment that you need, it was a real task, man. It was an accomplishment that we built that little space.
And the person that shoots this stuff, who is it?
When
you do it from your house, from that location.
So Vince will come to the location and set everything up, and then Ryan will monitor it all remotely.
Amazing. And he's just like a kid you found, right? Vince?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, he was a college student at in the film department at Portland State.
And you still do your podcast, though, the audio podcast.
Yes, but I do it all from the same studio right by my house. I used to trek about an hour.
How many years have you been doing that?
5 years now.
Who was your first guest?
Errol Hawani.
That's right. That's right.
So can I tell you what happened on that real fast?
Oh, I'd love to talk about this. So, have we ever actually talked about this?
I don't think so.
Oh, let's do it right now.
Yeah, not together. But I don't think I've told the story behind your back either. I don't think I've ever talked about this.
Let's do it.
Okay, it's my first time podcasting. Now, as simple as that may sound to you and I now, because we do a lot of them, to tell you, what is that? I thought podcast was two words, pod, space, cast. I mean, that's how little I knew about this. So I ended up hooking up with this company called Podcast One out of Beverly Hills. They fly in a representative to Portland to like hold my hand and walk me through this and meet at the studio and introduce me and show me what a podcast is, where your reads go and how your plugs and what all the bumpers are. And okay. So you come on and we had like a weird tension going on at that time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And hadn't really ever talked about it.
Yes.
So you were on and something happened and it just turns into a full knockdown, drag out, screaming. You know, I mean, I remember the spit coming out of my mouth.
I'll never forget. You said something to me that always stuck with me. Do you remember what you said?
No.
You called me a snake in the grass.
Oh, really?
You said you're a real snake in the grass. And at first I thought you were joking.
Snake in the grass.
But then I realized you weren't joking.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did I coin that or was that after Connor had already referred to Dillashaw?
I think this was before.
Because I don't think I'd steal a line.
No.
Anyway.
I mean, Connor didn't.
But I have to tell you, though.
Yes.
I have to tell you just, of course he didn't make it up, but okay. That was so hot between, I mean, we went so hot and it was so organic and so real that I've got the representative that, you know.
Yeah.
The owner of the company's right-hand man is standing there with me and he's like, yeah, we have to use that. That's how podcasts blow up overnight. That's just, you will be a success overnight if we put that. I'm like, I can't put it out. It was all off the record. He's like, yeah, well, you know, sure be helpful if we could use that. So I was like, hey, what do I do? And you're like, it was off the record. I go, okay, it was off the record. Click. Never put it out. But the point was, I have always wondered, like, if this one guy that understands podcasting next to a guy who thought podcasting was two words, thought that was the one that would really make, because we did great anyway.
Sure.
We did great without that. I've always wondered, just how big would have that been?
Would you put it out today?
Would I put it out today is the question that Ryan just asked
me.
You know, I wonder if you still have it.
No.
You probably don't.
No.
Can I tell you my perspective before I answer the question? So you asked me to come on. You were in the midst of, I think, your kind of reintroduction, right? You had been let go from Fox. I'm not sure if you were with ESPN yet, but you were trying to like reinvent yourself.
Sure.
Is that accurate?
Sure.
You asked me to come on. I was actually honored. I was like, of all the people you can have on, it's a pretty big honor to ask me.
Well,
so I was glad
you,
to do
Ariel.
It. At one point we had a connection issue the recording went down or something, and that's when you blew up on me. That's when you were like, you know, I got to tell you, you're a real stink in the grass. You kicked me. I think you felt that I didn't have your back. Am I?
Yeah.
Onto something?
Yes, I felt that way.
You felt like I kicked you when you were down.
Yes.
Okay, but here's the thing. When I found out that you tested positive, that ultimately led to your departure from the UFC and Fox, right? Who broke that news? I broke that news.
Yes.
Who called
with half
you?
The story.
But I called you.
But you played half the story.
What was the other side?
You told the whole world that I popped for X, Y, and Z. I think there's like three things in my system. You gave no credence at all to the nine things that I wasn't caught for. It's always this negative approach with you. It's always so pessimistic. It's supposed to be optimistic. Nevada State Athletic Commission 3, Chael Sonnen, 9.
Right.
Winner, Chael. Not the way you tell the story.
Right.
The way you tell the story, Chael's some evil villain.
It was a very awkward moment for me because I had to call you to tell you.
Running
that I
around
knew this
treating his butt like a pincushion.
That's right.
That's how you would tell the story.
That's right.
That's a negative approach.
Well, now I understand your perspective. But you were very nice. You were like, yeah, you could break that. That's fine. I didn't want to. We were partners.
Sure.
UFC Tonight. Remember that?
Sure.
And then you get let go. When did I turn my back on you? Like, when did I stab you in the back?
Well, I feel like now we're about to rehash a fight that we never had in the first place. I mean, I feel like everything's more than
everything's great
resolved between the two of us.
We're reminiscing.
Okay, I'll happily reminisce the fight as long as we agree ahead of time that we're not in a fight.
No,
we're
not.
This is an old story.
This
but okay, so what had happened that had me so bothered? I'm trying to think. I'm buying myself a minute here just to think. But it did have to do with the bigger picture of I mean, they had changed a lot of rules. That was really tough at the time. And then they started going off of something called WADA. And people were just more than happy to accept that I had something in my system that was in WADA violation. And I was asking very basic questions such as, who is WADA? And I remember I used to ask this to media members all the time. I go, who's the president of WADA? I go, here, let me make this real simple. What city is WADA in? You never get an answer. Okay, what state is WADA in? Okay, here, let me make it even easier. What country is WADA out of? Nobody to this day can answer these questions.
I can.
I mean, yes, now, because they're in Canada,
yeah.
And I think that
we resolved
this whole thing. But what I'm attempting to say is that time, is as much information as we have on WADA and USADA and the testing and in competition, out of competition, and they've done a very good job of educating people, but back then it was very dark. So they come in the dark of night, they pull out a test that you have no idea that you're even subject to, been fighting 19 years at that time. Not once were you ever even subject to these kinds of things. I was just saying, man, it's a little bit of a harder spot. If you didn't take anything illegal, you didn't take any steroids, if you didn't do it, how are you in violation of something? Well, you know, there's a different list and we go off of this list. It's like, since when? And who came up with the list? I think those were fair questions at the time. I don't know that that's the stance that I would take now, but we have a lot more education now. In 2014, you could get caught with your pants down pretty easy.
I felt really bad for you because, you know, I know you as a person and you were let go from your job and your career was somewhat in shambles. And then that happened. I was so mad at you. Anytime someone tweeted about you to me, because I think at a later show, you actually talked about it. You didn't play the clip, but you pretty much said what happened. I'm not a big blocker on social media.
Sure.
I'm a muter. If you're annoying me, I'll mute you, but I don't want to
get caught.
I won't give you the acknowledgement. I wanted you to know. In this regard.
Okay.
And anytime someone's like, what's up with you and Chael? You remember there was a period of two or so years I didn't talk to you.
War.
And vice versa.
War.
Yeah.
We were at war. Yes.
And you would text me that all the
yes.
time.
Yes. Can I tell that story real fast?
Go ahead.
Okay. So when we were at war, I used to randomly text you, all capitals, war.
Right.
Or like war exclamation points. Or W and then A and then R just to make your phone go ding, ding, ding. Yeah. But I also thought this was like something cute and funny. Like this was my olive branch attempt to steer into the problem as a way of dealing with the problem was my psychology. You finally told Mike Roberts, you go, hey, I don't know what the deal is with this guy, but he keeps threatening me. Mike's like, hey, are you threatening Aaron? I go, no, I mean, I told him we're going to war. I told him we're at war, but it was meant as a joke. Is he not taking it as a joke? He's like, no, he's not taking it as a joke. He thinks you're being a dick. It's like, okay. I need to let Ariel know that the war bit is just a bit.
Right. Mike Roberts being your longtime manager.
Sorry, I just said the abbreviated Richard.
No, that's fine.
That was an accident.
That's fine. That's totally fine. We eventually got over it, but I've never asked you this. How dark was that time for you?
Richard.
It is crazy, Chael. You have to acknowledge this, right?
Okay.
It is crazy.
Okay.
You work for ESPN and Bellator.
Yes.
No one gets to do that. I don't know how you pulled this off, But it's amazing when you consider the fact that 5 years ago, you were pretty much persona non grata,
sure.
Right?
No, good things happen to bad people. That was the one that, that our mothers had wrong. Yes. Sometimes cheaters do win, Ariel. So, right. I mean, it's kind of, you know, broad stroke statement to say otherwise. But okay, I will tell you this. You brought up a dark time. So here's something that I've had said about me. I've read it and never really known what it meant. And I've heard, I can remember a headline, meteoric rise and then a whatever, for whatever the fall is.
Right.
What do you say in astronomy? You got the meteoric rise and you got the meteoric epic fall, whatever it was. And I would hear these things. I didn't know a damn thing about it. I never knew when things were going good in the sport or when things were going bad in the sport. I never knew anything about it. I had like a life that was built on a very regimented schedule. Every day would start with my dog Danger getting me up to take him outside. I mean, it was one of these things where if things were really good or things weren't good or you had to make some adjustments, I never knew the difference. Like every day was the same for me. 3 o'clock, be in the truck. 3:30, be on the mat, ready to practice. You know, all the stuff, you know, all the way to going to practice in the evening and coaching the kids wrestling. I just did the same thing every day. So I never really knew a damn thing about it. And I've had people ask me that. You know, you were in some really dark moments. And how'd you get through the tough spots? And how did you move forward? I never knew. I didn't have some great story, Errol. I was like immune to it.
Really? You just kept going?
Yeah, I never really knew. I never really understood. Like, I mean, even dealing with commissions was just, that was just part of the sport.
Right.
Yeah. Or at least, you know, where I was at, I had done it a number of times.
Some
positive and some unpositive. I mean, everyone from disciplinary actions, but even just getting a license and having to go do paperwork and, oh, turn this in and...
What about watching TV? Like watching the events. Now all of a sudden you see other people in your spot.
Sure.
What was that like?
Well, I think that I understand those spots a little bit better. I mean, I think Sean O'Malley, just by example, who I really thought was, at least intent-wise, quite innocent. I don't think he ever meant to do anything, bad. And I don't reject the science, who thought it was very good. They found a test. It's in your system. You got to deal with it. But I do think that intent matters. Seems as human beings are, we want to be judged on our intent, but we judge others by their actions. I think if we can just be fair and look at intent, Sean O'Malley's hands are clean.
Mm.
I do have a little bit of, I don't even know Sean, by the way, in case you think this is like my long lost nephew. I've never met him or anything, but I do feel for him and he's a young man and he's trying and he's working hard. And I think that something got slipped into something that he took. I mean, I really do think that was the case.
But my question was, when you would watch other fighters on the desk at Fox and things like that.
Oh, I thought you meant violators.
Like, you were the guy. They built everything around you.
Oh, I misunderstood the question. I thought we were still talking about the disciplinary stuff. So I didn't really give a big thought to that.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
you be so like immune to all of this? I'd be sitting in the corner crying.
Well, I enjoy the product a lot, man. I'm a big fan. Well, you know, whether I was licensed or unlicensed or wanted to do it or now retired, my involvement's never really changed, at least from how I feel inside. You know, I want to see those other guys. I want to make predictions for who the next star is going to be or who's going to win the main event on Saturday. That stuff's fun.
You didn't resent it?
Big fan. No.
Really?
No, I didn't resent it.
You didn't resent the sport?
No.
The networks? None of it?
No, I didn't resent any of that. I mean, you got to understand, too, Errol, when you're wrong, I was wrong in that situation.
Sure.
If you're wrong, I mean, you live with it. You got to be a man about it.
Fair enough.
You want to do the crime, you got to do the time. I mean, this is like the basic rule, right? So I had to go sit in the principal's office. That's the way that it went. I will tell you, though, there was some real kindness to that. Like, I was at a show called UFC Tonight, which for the space, as you'll remember, Eric, that was number one rated show at that time.
Yeah, when I was on it.
Sure, when you were on it.
And then
when we were. Remember that day Nate Diaz came down there looking for us?
Yes.
Hey, where's Chael? Where's Kawane?
that was
great. But I will tell you, like, Daniel Cormier, when he got in for that spot, called me and said, hey, man, do you mind? I want to.
Oh, that's nice of him.
It's very, very sweet gesture, but it's like, Daniel, of course not. Of course not.
Wow.
And if the roles were reversed, don't expect you're going to get this call for his competition.
Okay, so you wouldn't have called him.
Well, we have a relationship, so I suppose if you're being serious, yes, I would have gone about it the right way. There was a time when I ended up over there at Fox, and that was a job that Randy Couture had.
That's right.
And I told Dana, hey, man, you got to give me 10 minutes. I got to call Randy.
Right.
I just called Randy and said, hey, what's going on with this? You mind if accept this invitation? He said, I already sent my papers. I'm not going. You'll be great at it.
Wow.
Take and go.
That's a nice friend.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just saying, yes, I think that perhaps I would have called Daniel in that same spot. But I'm just sharing with you more the mindset that I didn't think he needed to. Mm-hmm. I didn't think there was anything bad about that. This guy's embarrassed us or this guy's broke rules, you know, whatever the combination of that is. This guy's got to go. Okay, great. Well, somebody has to sit there.
Sure.
I mean, what's the golden rule? The show must go on.
Right.
I'm just going to pack up and go home.
If I would have told you then that in 5 years you'd be in the position that you're in now, like on all these shows, traveling so much, all this stuff, would you have believed me? Or were you starting to think like, oh, maybe I have to – think of doing something else.
Sure. 5 years ago, no, I don't think I would have believed you. And don't forget that there's good reason to not believe that. Like ESPN, by example, was a very small player 5 years ago.
Yeah.
They were starting to show an interest, and Glenn was starting to get the troops together and start, you know, he had a plan, sure, but it still wasn't executed. And now the fact that the Fox is out and the ESPN is the sole distributor, no, I don't think I would have ever believed that would happen that quickly. Yeah.
Is it different when you're doing shows for ESPN as opposed to Bellator? Because for one of them, you're working for the broadcaster, and the other one, you're working for the promoter.
Not much from a commentary standpoint. Okay. No, I'm free to say, like, by example, let's say I'm doing a Bellator show and I want to make a comparison of some fighter and some guy reminds me of Anderson Silva, an exact example that has happened with MVP with some of his movements and some of the flying knees, some of the stuff he uses for distraction, which is borderline dance. I mean, it's just great to watch. To make that comparison is a pretty easy one. Anderson, of course, being under contract with the UFC, I could be on a Bellator camera and say Anderson Silva of the UFC and roll right through it. And no, there's no pushback. I just cover the sport.
Right. That's
and good. That's all I want to do. Yeah, I don't want to, you know, start getting locked in with this Coke, Pepsi, Ford, Chevy kind of fights. I wanted to just cover the sport.
Right. And so at this point, we are approaching a year since your last fight. June, actually in this city, you had your last fight, right?
Yeah.
June of last year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Do you miss it at all?
22 years, never finished less than second. Not one time.
Undefeated.
The greats really can't say that. No, there were some silver medals in all truth. That whole undefeated thing was more of a shtick.
Right.
But never less than second. That is true. Three different weight classes over 3 decades.
No, it's incredible.
Really quite remarkable. 11 world champions.
Why aren't you answering my question?
Beat 8 of them.
Do you miss it?
Beat 8 world champions.
You don't get the itch.
Hey, is Rampage coming back to Bellator?
What the heck? Oh, okay.
But is he? I mean, I'm hearing weird things.
I mean, he looked really big in his last fight.
I understand that he looked big, but he's also made a commitment to 205 pounds. And when the lighter he gets, the better he gets.
Are you interested in fighting Rampage?
No, not in the least. I'm interested in watching Rampage fight.
Are you?
Yeah, it was just a... Now, that was very snide.
I mean, that was very snide how you said that. What about his last performance?
You know, Paige is the kind of guy to come look for you, by the way, right?
I mean, I hope he doesn't listen to this. We had a long... Speaking of feuds, we had a 3-year feud where he would... When he came back to the UFC, fought a UFC 186, told the UFC brass that he refused to have me do the backstage interview.
Wow.
So they had to take me out just for the Rampage interviews.
Sure.
And perhaps a sign of things to come because, you know, it's never been a...
You are to Rampage as I am to John Jones.
Yes.
Banned.
Yes.
Banned.
Unfortunately, my ban list is a little longer. But
you're adding to it.
That's right. They call you the bad guy, but I feel like I'm giving you a run for
your money. But wait a second. By the way, is Rampage fighting good? Do you have any scoop on that?
No.
Okay.
Did you see his last fight?
I did, with Fedor.
It was a little uninspired.
I understand. But, you know, if he had a contractor, I'm just
why are you bringing up Rampage, though?
I meant to ask you earlier. We were talking about something completely different. This is a random thought, but I just reconnected the dots. You asked me if I missed it, and for some reason, Rampage jumped into my head. I do miss it a little, Era, but I think I maybe was lucky just in that, man, I squeezed that thing for as long as I can, as tight as I felt like I got every bit of juice out of it, so... One thing that's very hard in life, not just in sport, in any kind of life, is regret. So I don't have regret, which I think is a positive. But more than anything is I just missed the boys. Like, I didn't realize how much of my social – going to practice. Apologize. That's driving you crazy?
No, grabbing this bottle. No, I didn't even notice.
Give me a look. Okay.
I actually wasn't. I swear.
So I didn't realize how much of my social life was dependent on – you know, pre-practice, warm-up, or you go into the locker room after, you know, shower time, just visiting with the guys. That part I do miss.
Do you still go to the gym?
Yeah, I go in pretty often, but, there's a big difference when you're in there twice a day every day, so 10 times a week, and going in there 3 times a week. Mm. I mean, it's a big difference.
Would you ever get into coaching? Like,
I just finished the season. I only coach wrestling.
MMA fighters.
Yeah, no.
Uh-uh. Why?
Well, I don't particularly enjoy it. I know really good coaches. I like to put guys in contact with the really good coaches, make an introduction. This is Clayton Hires. He'll fix your hands up. You know, whatever it may be, something along these lines. But there's a lot of knuckleheads in MMA, in all fairness. You know, you're dealing with some young guys with some egos and the not always the brightest guys. It can be frustrating. I think I want to finish the thought there because it sounds a little bit rude. I wasn't looking to be. But I've just seen gyms come and go, and I'm not really – like, I wouldn't get into it for the money or that kind of side. I would get in it to be part of something with somebody young that had a goal and a dream, and maybe I could be the mentor that had been there and done that, and here's how we get from A to Z. That would be fun and make me feel something good inside. And I do watch a lot of those guys, man. They jump around gyms. They leave. They're not loyal. I think that would probably be devastating.
Wait, so you said you just finished a season?
Just finished the high school wrestling season, just wrapped 2 weeks ago.
You coach?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You're the head coach?
No, I'm the assistant under Doug Samron.
Whoa, I didn't know this. What's the name of the school?
He has several assistants, but Westland High School, my old high school.
How often do you like have to commit to this?
Every day. Really? Every day, and then we had tournaments most weekends.
How come you don't publicize
it? It's a very short season, though. It's only like 3 months. Yeah, we started in November, and we wrapped February 28th.
You don't make a big deal about this.
No, but we had a really good season. We had a school record. We had four finalists. We've never had four in the finals before. School record is three. Destiny won it. Destiny's actually the defending world champion.
Wait, Destiny is who?
Destiny Rodriguez, 152 pounds, or if I'm wrong, 145.
Is Destiny a male or female?
Female.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Won the world championship in Budapest over the weekend. She's won national championships, but this is her first
She's
official.
She's going to be a star.
She's a freshman.
Oh,
just
wow.
Pinned her way through the state tournament.
Wow.
She'll be a four-timer. In addition, she's a world champion. I know I keep saying that, but how many world champions do you know, right?
Sure, sure.
I know her.
Westland, is that typically known to be a good wrestling school?
It's a top 10 perennial team, yes. In and out, there's always going to be good teams.
Okay.
Getting a trophy has just been a little bit out of our reach as of late, but we're right in the hunt. We were sixth this year, by example. So we're right in there.
How many of those kids know who you are?
Fewer and fewer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that make you sad?
There's this guy. Okay. That walks into the gym, kid, wrestler, walks through the door on the very first day of wrestling practice, and he looks like he's looking for a street fight. I mean, you can see it in his eyes. You know how those high school kids just aren't to be messed with? This is that guy. But I can tell as he's walking on the mat that he's never been on Resolite before. So I'm like, okay, he's a first day. Let me go over and say hello to this guy. So I go over and I introduce myself. He shakes my hand. He doesn't tell me his name, so I then ask him what his name is. And he said something to the effect of, names are irrelevant, you can call me Tank. Or he said, names don't matter, you are to call me Tank.
Whoa.
I'm in. Right away, I'm into the Tank, I'm into the gimmick, I'm into the whole thing. So I'm like, you got it, Tank. Tank it is. So Tank goes about 150 pounds, and every day he would wrestle with the heavyweight. Our heavyweight is 270 pounds. So somewhere in Tank's life, he must have been the big kid in class to even get called Tank. But that must have been in like the first or second grade. The guy is only 150 pounds. So I finally go up to the head coach and say, why is Tank wrestling Joe Betty? Why every day when we wrestle does Tank wrestle Joe? And the coach goes, well, you know, big guys got to go together. No, he's not a big guy. He just has a big name. He thinks he's a big guy.
Right.
He's 150 pounds. I just asked him, what do you weigh? He said 150 pounds. Coach's like, oh my God. Yeah, he's not a big guy. He just has a big name. He's fooled us all. So I work with Tank for 11 straight days. Every day, hello, Tank. Every day, goodbye, Tank. He then sends, you know, we're on like a text exchange with some of the other team and the coaches. Tank and I know each other. Day 11, which represents one day before Thanksgiving, he walks up to me and says, hey, you got a cousin whose name starts with a T? So, well, I got a cousin, Ty. He goes, Ty, yeah, that's it. My dad knows him. And he just stands there and he goes, did you fight in the UFC? And I said, yeah, I fought in the UFC. And he goes, that's pretty cool. He puts his hand out and he said, I'm Tank. It's nice to meet you.
What?
I said, Tank, it is nice to meet you. So when you asked me, do these guys know me? Not really, apparently.
Wow.
At least Tank didn't.
That's wild.
Though he did think it was pretty cool.
He did think it was
He actually said that. That's
do you actually
cool.
know his real name?
His name is Hank with an H.
Oh.
But he goes Tank by Tank.
Tank is way cooler.
Oh, he's a legend, this guy.
Wow.
Oh, I don't think he won a match all year. I don't think he won a match all year.
Really?
I know he got more votes for next year's team captain than he won matches this year. The guys love him.
That's amazing.
Tank's
old?
The best. Tank will be out of a tournament and be the first one to the bus the next day with a box of donuts for everybody.
Oh, what a legend.
No, he's great.
Young kid.
It's like, Tank, these guys got to weigh in. Ah, it's just a donut, coach. Here, have one. No, I don't want a donut. Have half a donut. You aren't wrestling. It'll actually do that. Actually,
it,
he's great. The guy's a legend.
I would love to see you, coach.
Oh, thank you.
Can I go?
Yes, you can.
Like one of these days, I'll see
to
you
have
there.
You. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That would be amazing. We just have like 3 minutes left before your precious.
What do we
car.
Do here, by the way? Like, do we ever do a show?
No, this is.
We just sit and visit.
This has been the show.
We don't need to discuss, you know, the bullet
no
or
well, actually,
Wang Lee or. There's
two things I want to bring up. Number one.
Gary Goodridge.
Number one.
Keith
I think
Hackney.
This is a bit of a preview.
Don the Predator
for the show
Fry,
that's coming out later tonight.
Tim Lachick.
Ariel and the Bad Guy, ESPN+. I think you were generally on point as usual. Sure. You're always really good in person. Very unfair towards Valentina Shevchenko, and this is a shoot. Mm. I think that you were, for whatever reason, she's bothered you or something. In short, your premise was that she's coming across as a bully because she is responding to something that Zhang Weili's management said.
That's where you and I have
misfired.
A disagreement. A disagreement. I believe the bullet went first. And it would be very relevant because one of us is right. And if I'm wrong, then my entire premise is wrong.
But no, actually.
But I am hanging my hat on the argument that she went first. She went after a smaller fighter.
But
first.
Actually, what you're saying is she shouldn't even engage because she's smaller.
Sure.
Even if we find out that Zhang was the first one to call her out, you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, she should not engage because this person is smaller. She's in a foreign country. She doesn't have a big team surrounding her. It's off limits. I say that's ridiculous. What do you mean? They started. They said, we want to fight you. They're the ones taking pictures with her.
Excuse me. I will tell you this. It does not give you carte blanche. Now, it would change things. In all fairness, it would change things. I'll stand by what I just said. Yes, if the bullet was responding, even to a smaller opponent, she would have the right. But it is not carte blanche, and that appears to be what she's taken. Not only is she saying that she wants to fight, now you got the manager saying that they want to make the fight happen, then she comes in and weighs in after the performance, which goes down by many, myself included, and I think you included, as the greatest female fight of all time, where she held on to her title despite all of the adversities that she's been through with all of the different quarantines in different countries just to get to the cage. Excuse me. And I do think that it's very meaningful to, even if Weili went first, you cannot just keep firing if you're the bigger fighter. Yeah, I would stand by that. In the world of PR, and professionally, she's done nothing wrong. Professionally, she's getting attention. Here we are talking about it. It's all's fair in love and war. I'm not saying that she's done something bad, but I am saying for somebody who does appear to be very media and image cautious, that this was some bad advice she got. To go after Weili and try to make a big fight is something that can happen, but if you're the bigger athlete, you have to let them come to you, not the other way around. That would be my advice. This is more meant as advice than a bonk over her head.
Okay.
But all the same, this was a miss.
Okay, the second one I wanted to ask you about, we'll continue to disagree on that one. Kevin Lee's fighting this weekend. Where did the whole Kevin Lee thing start with you?
Okay, so first off, at the time of the story, I don't know who Kevin Lee is. I don't know what a Kevin Lee is. I don't know if that's a person, a fighter, a old class. I have no idea.
Right.
I get a call from Robert Follis, who was my first ever MMA coach, who is the current coach of a guy named Kevin Lee, and Kevin Lee wants to come on the podcast. And he's on me a lot. I mean, it's like every other day. It's hard to even hear from Robert Follis. I mean, I was hearing from him a lot. Yeah, may he rest in peace. About Kevin Lee. So, and I want to do the favor. Kevin's an old wrestler and he's working with Robert. I mean, we're teammates at this point, whether we've ever met or not. I want to do the favor, but I haven't got around to it yet. So then I did a podcast and I was having an issue because I moved houses. And when I moved houses, my cat would always run back to the other house. And then that homeowner was calling me and mad that my cat was there. But, you know, if you've never had a cat before, you don't know. But you can't own a cat.
Right.
You can love a cat, but you can't make it love you. Like, a cat's just going to do what a cat wants to do. So I keep getting the cat and I was trying to recruit it and bring it to my house. I did everything you're supposed to do. Put it in the laundry room for 2 weeks. Open it up to the house for another 2 weeks before you release it outside. I mean, I did everything. I was on Google. I was getting expert advice. Kevin Lee reaches out to me, said, I heard your problem on your podcast. Had the same one. Here's what you do. Take the kitty litter, and instead of just dumping it out, dump it on the barrier of your property. Fence them in with their own litter box. So I went out and tried that, and it worked, and I was so grateful that then I had to have Kevin Lee on. But then Kevin Lee comes on while he's doing it with me. He flies in. He's in studio. So while we're doing the show, he gets a text message, hey, you're fighting Tony for the strap. So we got to finish the podcast, go find a gym, go do a workout. I mean, we got to get this guy fed and trained and to bed. I mean, the whole bit. And we just really hit it off. You know, Kevin is just a very curious guy. Kevin wants to know everything about everything. He wants to learn more. He wants to learn from different people. He wants new experiences. He's just a very curious person. And I think it makes him a lot of fun. And he's a deep down, dirty dog competitor.
Yes.
I mean, he wants to win. Not make a bunch of money, not be famous. Those are byproducts. He wants to win.
Right.
I respect it.
Huge fight this Saturday. That's a great story. So now we know why you always say, how does he fit into all of this? Because you've taken a liking to him.
Sure.
That's a great story.
No. Where does Kevin Lee fit into this? But it's a fair question. I mean, when you have a guy who fought for a world championship 2 years ago, had a good, solid fight with Tommy, I mean, you got a top guy. And before that, he'd had two other main events. Chiesa one comes to mind. And, you know, he always wanted to get this redemption on Al. And Al just, for some reason, has his number. And that drives him crazy and keeps him up at night. I say, hey, man, let it go. Al's got a lot of guys' numbers. Let it go. You got a lot of guys' numbers.
That's right.
Al's going to go collect his numbers. You're going to go collect your numbers. It's okay.
What a pleasure this has been.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chael. Thank you, Ryan.
Oh my gosh. I'm embarrassed. This is Get Out, Chael.
This is Get Out.
Oh.
No, listen.
What if I didn't pick up on that and I didn't get up and get out? Like, at some point, do you say, hey, you need to leave? Or do we just play the passive-aggressive until time runs out?
But your representative, Leal Mundia the Great, said you need to be gone by 2:30.
All right. What time is it?
2:28.
Wow. Here's your hat. What's your hurry? Kaboom, well, Helwani.
Thank you very much, Chael. And in a matter of seconds, we're going to be joined by Tom Lawler. I would have asked you to
tell him
around.
I said hi.
Yes. Yeah, big news. Tom Lawler. Filthy Tom. He is going to make an announcement here in a matter of seconds. Now, before we move along with today's show, let me tell you about my good friends over at ZipRecruiter. Yes, ZipRecruiter. When it comes to scoring great hires for your business, you may be up against a few obstacles, like an overwhelming amount of resumes, too many applicants, but not enough of the right ones, trouble spotting the most qualified candidates in a sea of possibilities. It's kind of like all the questions that came out of UFC 245. Should Conor McGregor fight Nate Diaz? Jorge Masvidal? Justin Gaethje? The sport's best fighters have so many options for a next fight, and oftentimes, it's a tough decision. Now, Conor McGregor's next fight isn't booked just yet, so perhaps he could use ZipRecruiter. No matter the industry, fighting, healthcare, to manufacturing, to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/MMA. First, when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology hustles for you to find people with the right experience for your job and invites them to apply. In fact, check out this stat. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So, add ZipRecruiter to your roster to help you win the hiring game. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/MMA. That's ZipRecruiter.com/MMA. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/MMA. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Support them because they support us. And speaking of great hires, how about that Mina Kimes? She is some kind of superstar here at ESPN. In fact, I just saw her moments ago right here at our studio. She was a great hire by ESPN back in the day. And if you're a football fan in withdrawal and you need a podcast to get you caught up to speed on the latest for the NFL draft, free agency, and a hell of a lot more, then I suggest you download, subscribe, and review The Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, her dog, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, now back to the show. For now, let us move along and say hello to our next guest. I teased at the beginning of the show that we had some breaking news regarding one of our favorites, Filthy Tom Lawler. And so without further ado, let us say hello to Filthy Tom Lawler. Tom, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello to everybody out there listening. I am glad to be on these airwaves because it means, like you said, that there must be some breaking news, right? I have not been heard from in quite a while. I have not been seen in the MMA world for over a year. But yet here I find myself with you, Ariel.
Keep going, keep going. I felt like you were on the right track there. Let's go. Keep going.
Well, without further ado, I am here to announce that I will be partaking. I have been chosen. I have been given the golden lottery ticket to compete in this year's PFL in the light heavyweight division for $1 million. And Ariel, I am here to tell you that it is my absolute goal. It is my destiny to take home that money. And it's going to happen at the end of 2020.
I love this. First of all, congratulations. This is what I've been saying about PFL since the beginning. We need characters. We need names. We need people who are going to put on a show. That is Filthy Tom Lawler. It's about time they signed you because I know you've been kind of playing footsie with them for the last couple of years, right?
There was some, you know, back and forth. See, myself and them and myself and many other organizations, you know, there was opportunities sent my way throughout the past year and a half. But unfortunately, I wasn't able to make any of them happen. I wasn't able to take advantage of them. But now I find myself at a point in my life where it's do or die, Ariel. This is the last fighting contract I ever plan on signing in my life. And what better carrot to dangle in front of somebody than $1 million? Usually when you hear people talk about, you know, being done, retiring in a sport, they're on their way out, you know. But I have a full season to look forward to. and I've never been more excited to fight.
Wow, I love it. I could feel the excitement. By the way, why have you not fought since November of 2018? Your last fight was actually against Deron Wynn, who just fought this past weekend in the UFC and lost.
Yeah, correct. Well, in that fight, I shattered my hand. My initial plan was to fight Deron, win, lose, draw, no contest. Explosion in the middle of the ring, whatever the case was going to be. My plan was to get right back on the horse and fight as soon as I could. Unfortunately, there was a point in the third round where I had been taken down. I said to myself, I'm going to punch his head right off of his shoulders when I stand up. And I tried to do so. Unfortunately, this was a case of mind over matter, and the matter exploded on his nose and actually shattered my fist in many spots. So that set me back quite a bit of time, and it was actually one of the worst injuries I've had to recover from pain-wise. But now, after being filled with a ton of professional wrestling dates, professional wrestling opportunities, after being the MLW World Heavyweight Champion, which you can find on BN Sports, you know, I am back here to fight. I'm healed up and I'm ready to go.
Wow. Okay. And I was going to ask you about that, the wrestling, because I know that you've stayed busy with it. Now that you're with PFL, does it mean no wrestling?
There are some commitments I still have that I'll be able to continue and or finish up in the upcoming months. But once it's go time for PFL, you know, it's go time. You know what I mean? When you are given a chance to change your life over the course of, what would it be, 6-7 months, you have to take that chance. I'm not much of a gambling man, but right now I am 100% willing to drop everything I have and bet on myself in this situation. So, I mean, I'm all in.
All in, baby. Hashtag all in?
No. That'll give people the wrong idea.
Okay, my bad. I'm sorry.
Especially in the wrestling world.
I know. Well, that's what I was trying to...
You gotta think. Now, I'm very happy with the way things have gone wrestling-wise, too. This just kind of comes at a time when, you know, I wasn't sure if I was going to fight again. And then I was, like I said, I was given this opportunity. And now it's going to happen, you know? So I'm pumped up about what's been going on in my wrestling world as well. So it's not as if I'm, like, trying to get out of there, you know?
If not for this PFL opportunity, would it be safe to say you were done fighting?
I had thought to myself, there was one day where I was driving around. I was like, you know what? Maybe this is it. Maybe I'm done. And by the time I hit the gym and I started training, I thought that was a stupid thought. But there hadn't been any, you know, opportunities. Essentially, the money wasn't good enough for me to not continue wrestling at some point. I found myself in a situation where in order to take a fight, I would have to be wrestling up until the fight time would come for the most part. So it was kind of like a catch-22. You know, I'd be on the road. I wouldn't have the time to train to fight. But once I fought, I wouldn't need to be doing that. So it was kind of a tough situation. But, yeah, like, I wasn't ever going to, and I told some people this, I wasn't ever going to retire because everybody that retires comes back.
Mm.
So I was just going to be around, you know?
And
now look what happened.
Yes, this is amazing. I love this. It's a bit of a jolt for PFL, who just yesterday announced a slew of new signings. I'm intrigued by Mohamed Usman, who is the brother of Kamaru Usman. Last week on the show, we announced that Olivier Aubin-Mercier had signed with them as well, so you can add Tom Lawler to the list. But I wanted to know, because it's been well documented that the end of your tenure with the UFC was somewhat unceremonious with the issues with USADA, and you felt like they kind of held you back and kept you around, and they could have done to you what they did with other people, which is let them go and find employment elsewhere. Has that at all, I don't know, changed the way you view the sport? Did you need some time away from the sport? Were you bitter towards the sport, towards the UFC? How do you feel about how that all went down now?
Ariel, much like at the beginning of this interview, I feel like you were on the right track there.
Okay.
You could have just kept going and virtually everything that you would have said probably would have been correct. Yeah, I was distraught at what happened. And the more time goes by, you know, time heals old wounds, but this one's really, really open. And lemon juice and other, you know, alcoholic beverages keep getting, like, poured on this open wound every time that there's a failure for Osterine, and the person gets off with what's, you know, a paramount to the slap on the wrist. Diego fought before anybody even knew that he had failed, essentially. So when you look at the treatment that I received, not only in that case as far as Carson goes, but then being held by the UFC for virtually the entire tenure for almost 2 years, and then being let go as I was begging, as fucking begging for a fight, they strung me on for months and then decided to let me go. So yeah, I was not very happy with the way that ended, obviously. I fought for Golden Boy. I wasn't happy with the way that ended, obviously. So, you know, a part of me, and I hate to say it, but a part of me hates MMA, but like every relationship, there's always going to be those times when it's just a little bit too much for you and you need to maybe take a walk. And I view the past, I guess, year as me having taken a walk for a little bit. I'm still around. I'm still, you know, I'm still at home. I'm still training all the time. But mentally, I think I'm recharged and ready to go.
That's a great story, and I hope they tell that story. That's one thing that I think is missing as far as MMA promotion is concerned. Like, tell these real stories. Tell the story of you feeling like the sport had stabbed you in the back. Tell the story that you needed to take that walk, that you felt that you hated the sport. Now, here you are, one last hurrah, trying to win this $1 million light heavyweight tournament. This is a great story. I love this. This is great. Now, can I ask, do you know when your debut is and against who?
I don't know if I can. I don't
okay,
know.
Okay, sorry,
who.
Sorry. I don't want to get you in trouble on the first day.
Yeah, I don't know who. I think I saw yesterday Jordan Young announced. I assume Sortie is coming back. Besides that, I'm not really sure who's in it. So I believe I'll be fighting towards the end of the series, but, you know, that's not really 100% up to me.
Okay. This is amazing. Tom, congratulations. Welcome back.
Thank you.
We've missed you.
I'm ready, baby. Let's fucking do it.
Oh, by the way, cool walkouts?
I don't really do much in that avenue.
Well, why not?
I think they use stock music.
No, you got to bring that back. You need to inject some entertainment into that thing. Let's be honest. It's been a little stale at times. If you don't bring out the cool walkouts, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Well, you know, creativity, I guess, is one of the things that they hold over some of the other fighters. So let's see what I can do, Ariel. No promises.
All right.
But I'll see what I can bring out. It may not be a walkout. It might be something else. But, I mean, come on. I need to entertain myself somehow.
That's right. Lighten up, PFL. Enough of this. Uniforms, this, that. Come on. Let's have some fun.
Oh, I'm ready to put my fight kit on. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I bet. Tom, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Congratulations. I'm looking forward to this.
Thank you.
All right, there he is, Filthy Tom Lawlor, all-time great character. I was trying to explain to TST who this man is and how great he is. You know, some of you new fans may not know about how prolific he was with the walkouts. And, you know, he had a great start to his career. Ultimate Fighter alum, 6-1, won no contest, beat CB Dolloway at UFC 100, beat Kyle Kingsbury, tough finale back in 2008. Lost two in a row, Aaron Simpson, Joe Dirksen, then came back, beat Patrick Cote. That was a big win for him. Lost to Chris Weidman, beat Jason McDonald, lost to Francis Carmel, then won two in a row. Probably most notable win in that stretch was a knockout of John Volante in the second round, July of 2016. Unfortunately, then lost to Corey Anderson, had the issue with USADA, was out for 2 years, returned at the one and only Golden Boy event, and then lost to Dronwyn, who lost this weekend. By the way, speaking of Bay Area fighters, I just saw this across the wire. Golden State Warriors just announced that due to escalating concerns about the spread of the coronavirus and in consultation with the city and county of San Francisco, Tomorrow night's game versus the Nets at Chase Center will be played without fans. Fans with tickets to this game will receive a refund in the amount paid. Why am I bringing this up? Because slowly but surely we have seen MMA events get affected by the spread of the coronavirus. KSW announced today their upcoming event canceled. Aries Fighting announced last week upcoming event canceled. Thus far, Bellator and or the UFC haven't been affected. They haven't postponed or canceled any events. But it does feel as though that threat is coming, especially when you consider the fact that in Columbus, Ohio, they made changes to the Arnold Festival. The UFC is going to Columbus later this month. There's the event in London next weekend. And, of course, the big one in Brooklyn in a little over a month. What's going to happen then? Scary stuff. Hope everyone is safe. Hope everyone is healthy. Of course, someone who brought this to light at the press conference last week was our own Mark Raimondi. He was lambasted for it. He was booed out of the building, but it was a very fair and, dare I say, legitimate question that he asked. Mark, are you there?
Oh, I'm here.
Ooh, look at that.
I am
here. Clear. Mark, it's good to have you on the program.
Ariel, it's good to hear your voice.
We just had Filthy Tom Lawler on the show.
Oh, and, my guy.
Yes, your guy, the pro wrestler slash MMA fighter just announced that he too is joining PFL. So another interesting signing to their new roster.
Oh, I love that. I really, I like what PFL is doing. There are some very interesting names on this, this 2020 season and in all weight classes. I'm pretty excited for it.
Yes. Thank you for that. But, Mark, we didn't have you on to talk about the coronavirus or the PFL. We have you on here today to debut a new segment. And so without further ado, TST.
Legitimate questions.
Gotta ask the question. I don't care.
With Mark Raimondi.
It was a legitimate question. 100% legitimate question. Right down the middle. Straight as an arrow. Legitimate question.
Oh my God. That is incredible. What do you think of that, Mark?
What is that? What is this?
A new segment that we are debuting today on the show. It is called Legitimate Questions with Mark Raimondi. But in this case, Mark, I ask you the legitimate questions. We need the legitimate answers from you. You understand?
This is an ambush. What is this?
Here we go, Mark. Question number one. Is it appropriate to wear a wrestling t-shirt on the first date?
Well, appropriate? It's mandatory, Ariel. What are you talking about?
We spoke about you earlier on the show with Chael Sonnen. He was very surprised that you wear contemporary wrestling t-shirts. Not old wrestling t-shirts, but you wear actual contemporary wrestling t-shirts.
Well,
he lost a little respect.
It's a mix. It's whatever I'm feeling that particular day. I wake up in the morning and I go through my thousands of pro wrestling shirts and I decide which one I'm feeling on that day.
Okay, number two, Mark. What was your favorite room in the Tough House?
My favorite room, the kitchen, of course. That's the only place where people can urinate in other people's food. The kitchen.
Mark number three. More controversial. Open scoring or open relationships?
Absolutely. In the year of our Lord 2020, open scoring is far more controversial than open relationships. It's 2020, Ariel Helwani. Get with the program.
Okay. Moving along, Mark. Are dad bods underrated?
Highly underrated. I'm sporting one myself. By the way, these are not legitimate questions.
These are horrible questions.
I ask legitimate questions.
In hindsight, Mark, would Tony Ferguson have been a better utility man in baseball than fighter?
I see Tony Ferguson as Joe McEwing. the old Joe McEwing from the Mets in the early 2000s. That's who I see Tony Ferguson being in MLB. I think he can probably walk onto a team right now during spring training.
I'm actually crying right now. I would have accepted Mike Mordecai as well.
Also a good selection.
Is it okay, Mark, to cook a steak well done if in fact you eat it with ketchup?
It's disgusting. I can't believe, I'm very offended by that. That's awful.
Mark, are timeshares in Las Vegas a good investment?
They're an awful investment. My dad has had a timeshare in Las Vegas since I think I was 20, 20 years old, and I'm 36 now, and he can't sell the damn thing. It's a terrible investment. Don't do it. Don't let them fool you. They say they just want to take you on a tour, and they give you free tickets to some bullcrap. Don't do it. I'm telling you, don't do it.
Mark, was Elizabeth too loyal to the Macho Man or vice versa?
No, Elizabeth was mistreated by the Macho Man. You have to watch the Dark Side of the Ring documentary on Vice, Ariel. Very, very toxic relationship. Were you talking about kayfabe or real life? Sorry, my apologies.
I don't know. I really don't know.
All right.
Mark,
I'll let my answer stand then.
Are you committing carbicide when you put penne pasta on pizza?
I don't know what that means.
Stop.
I don't know what that means.
Is it possible that the Conor and Khabib rivalry is actually a work?
100%. Everything's a work. Everything is kayfabe. Everything is professional wrestling.
Did Millie Vanilli not get enough credit?
For what?
Okay. Mark, what's the most weird thing that you have in your backpack right now?
The weirdest thing I have in my backpack right now. Hold on, let me open it up.
Oh, God.
Let's see what I can find.
For those that don't know, Mark walks around with a 10-pound backpack and has a lot of weird things in there.
I have some hand sanitizer.
Not very weird.
That's not that weird. I have an old New York Post notebook.
What? To write things on?
Yes. You know what I have in here? The MMAJA rules and regulations. Oh, what is this? Hold on a second. You know what I have in here? I have a bag that has old Pride figurines. I'm looking at Kazushi Sakuraba right now. A little Kazushi Sakuraba action figure.
Don't you walk around with a toothbrush and toothpaste and things like that?
Yeah, but that's I don't consider that weird.
That is a little deodorant.
That's not weird. I keep good hygiene.
Mark,
how is that weird?
Is Jay Park the biggest babyface in MMA right now?
I don't know about that.
Wow.
I don't know about that.
You got really serious
about
this. Okay, and finally, Mark, are you in fact a trust fund baby, as Chael Sonnen said at the top of the show?
I'm highly offended. Middle class Italian American upbringing in Queens, New York. Nothing of the sort, Chael Sonnen. Come on.
And there you have it. The first ever edition of Legitimate Questions with Mark Raimondi. Mark, thank you for joining us.
I appreciate it. Oh, please don't ambush me again with this. That's not right.
All right. There you go. Mark Raimondi. He's got to go back to doing very important / legitimate things. Very fun. And whoever came up with that t-shirt did a great job. I think it was Eric Tomiso of ESPN fame. There's a lot of liquid coming out of my eyes and nose right now. I just want you all to know I need to take a minute. And so it is the perfect time for everyone's favorite segment of the week. It is time for
TST's Minimalist Tip of the Week.
Hey, Ariel.
Hey, TST, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
What did you think of the first ever edition of Legitimate Questions with Mark Raimondi?
I enjoyed it. I didn't understand some of the references, but me not having the history, hence me not knowing who this Lawler character is.
Right.
But I do now, so I didn't get some of them, but I am interested to know what he carries in his backpack. As a minimalist, I was judging him from afar.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if you've ever seen this backpack, it, no joke, weighs at least 10 pounds. Although you did message me in the midst of that and said, that carrying a toothbrush, toothpaste, and deodorant is not, in fact, weird.
Yeah, that's not weird because, I mean, I take my backpack to the gym a lot, so I've got deodorant and I've got all of those little travel things. I also have a pocket knife in my backpack, and I also have a little Declaration of Independence.
You do?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm a history nerd, and sometimes I just like to read the Declaration.
Come on.
No.
When was the last time you were compelled to read the Declaration of Independence?
When I was on a plane a few weeks ago.
Because you were nervous?
Declaration. And it's actually a Declaration and Constitution. It's a little mini pocket Declaration and Constitution in the same book.
Can I be honest with you for a second?
Yeah.
I have never read the Declaration of Independence and or the Constitution in their entirety.
Well, I mean, that's okay. That's probably a common thing. Also, you're a Canadian first
right.
and foremost,
that's
so
right.
I'm not going to judge you for it.
That's right. We don't learn that sort of thing. That's amazing that you actually walk around with that. It feels very non-minimalist of you to do so.
Well, I don't have much in there, so you know, I add what adds value to my life. And I like learning about our history and referring to it over and over again. And very inspirational words that were once written by our founding fathers.
That's right. Could you recite it by memory?
I could. I'm not going to right now. But I could tell you also the presidents in order. That is maybe my only special skill in life.
How has the threat of the coronavirus affected your life?
I mean, everyone's freaking out about it. Yeah. I was going to go to Boston this weekend. I had plans with a little female to go to the St. Patrick's Day parade in Boston.
Yes.
And alas, it is canceled.
Ugh.
So that's not fun. And people are freaking out over here. Like, I've got a bunch of friends who have plans. Like, my one friend is going to the Final Four. He's freaking out about it maybe not happening, or maybe them not allowing fans. It's crazy. I don't remember anything happening like this.
Yeah, there was the swine flu and SARS and things of that nature, but nothing.
I wasn't really around for Y2K. I know people were freaking out about that, but I imagine not to this level.
No. Well, they weren't canceling things as a result of Y2K. In fact, Chris Jericho, our guest in the, when was it? Late last year in October or so. His nickname was Y2J. That was a play on Y2K. But no, I do feel, listen, as a extreme germaphobe, my whole world is upside down. Every time I go home, I take off my clothes and I wash everything.
Wow.
And
okay, that's a little nuts.
I feel very uncomfortable. I was on the plane going to Las Vegas, coming home, wore surgical gloves, didn't go with the mask, but I feel like everything I wore on the plane needs to be burnt at this point. I don't want to touch anyone. I feel very rude. People are extending their hands to me still, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm just not, you know, I can't do it. I'm sorry. I hope you understand. I feel very uncomfortable.
Well, you're you. Just,
yes.
I mean,
this is the worst thing for someone like me who is supremely neurotic, a bit of a hypochondriac. Like, sometimes I feel like, oh, my chest is hurting. I'm like, oh, it's just in my mind.
You're so high maintenance.
I'm just going to be honest. It's very scary for me. I was talking to Chael about this earlier. He said he would drink the coronavirus if it was in front of him. Like, he is completely unfazed by any of this.
Yeah, listen, I respect it. Now, I'm not going to take it to that extent. I'm not crazy like all these fighters are. However, I'm not going to let this thing ruin my day to day. I'm not going to let it get to me and occupy a space in my mind like so many people are. I'm not.
Good for you.
I'm not going to not go to a public space. I'm not going to not go to a restaurant. I'm not going to not go to a parade. I'm going to keep living my life. And if I get it, I get it. It's not going to kill me. I'm young. I'm strong. I've got a great immune system. You know, it's not. I'll drink it too. I'll drink it too with Chael.
All right. Fair enough. I hope I could be like that as well at some point. For now, though, do we have a tip of the week?
Yeah. So something that I am really, really focusing on now, I'm kind of doubling down on it, is there's this quote that I once read in one of my favorite books ever. It's called Tools of Titans. And this quote is, in a world of distraction, single tasking is a superpower. And what I mean by that is, in our daily lives now, I've talked about distractions, but we never ever just solely focus our attention on one task at one time anymore, because a phone notification, an email notification, something always comes up that diverts our attention from the given task that we are doing. And whether we have three tasks that we need to accomplish, we think that it is just as productive to, you know, give 33% to one, 33% to another, 33% to another, and like that's being productive. But really, if you give 100% to one task, then 100 to the second, then 100 to the third, you're going to do your task better than if you're trying to do them all at once. And so what I'm trying to do now is, whether it's something at work, whether it's something at home, like last night, I got a new book at the library, and I'm like, okay, phone's going in airplane mode, like everything is going off. I am sitting here for 30 minutes, and I'm reading my book, and I'm just losing myself in this world, and I am living more. This is the tenet of minimalism, living more by living with less and cutting out the extraneous. So I'm cutting out the distractions and cutting out things that are going to distract me from reaching my goals of just becoming a better person and learning more. These are the things that we minimalists focus on.
What was the book that you took out?
So I'm trying to learn how to, I've mentioned to you before that I want to open a coffee shop one day. Mm-hmm. So I was looking up books in the library's cataloging system about, you know, like home brewing and more business kinds of things. And I end up coming across this book. The title is, It's like, happy people read and drink coffee. I'm like, oh, that sounds fascinating. I want to read that. Then I go and check it out, and it's like a murder mystery and whatnot. So I got it anyway. It wasn't what I intended to be, so now I'm reading like this murder mystery that has nothing to do with coffee. And I also got a biography on Gandhi.
Wow. A bunch of books.
Yeah, I got two books.
Do you go to the library often?
Yes. So I'm a big advocate of downtown Bristol. Now, not many people like downtown Bristol, Connecticut, but I love it because I love to walk. I walk at least 20 minutes every day, most an hour every day. And in downtown Bristol, nearby where I live, we've got the library, we've got a cool coffee shop, we've got restaurants, we've got a really cool park. So I love it. Everything I want to be at is in walking distance, and the library is one of those places, and it's a cool place.
Wow, okay. Because I don't know of a lot of people who actually take books out anymore from the library.
I take CDs from the library.
Come on.
Yeah.
You're one of those guys?
Yeah, why not?
Wait, you...
They're free.
They are?
Yeah, if you have a library card.
That's right.
Which you don't have to pay for.
How much do you pay? You don't?
No, library cards are free. Libraries are so underrated.
Yes.
They have fallen out of public favor. You know, I get it, like screens and audiobooks and Kindle books. But like, just go to the library and like get a free book. They're fun.
My biggest issue with the library over the years has been my germaphobe status. I just feel like I can't touch this thing because I don't know where it's been. You know, I can't touch this book. I can't touch this CD.
Do you go anywhere?
Yeah, I know, but I don't want to bring it to my house and then bring it back. You know, it's just a weird thing. Listen, I acknowledge that this is not healthy, but I'm just telling you why I've always sort of avoided the library.
But I mean, does this occupy your mind everywhere you go?
Yes, and now it's worse. Oh, I don't like shaking people's hands. Anytime, let alone now.
Yeah, I suppose I've never, I feel like we only fist bump.
I don't like, yes. And then, you know, don't get me started when I go to an event and like some random fan wants to shake my hand. I'm like, why? Why do I have to shake your hand? When did this become a thing? Why can't I bow? Isn't that a lot more respectful? If I bow in front of you, aren't I actually giving you the greatest honor possible? I'm bowing to you. I'd much rather do that.
Wow. I've got some other people here that are bowing to you. We've got some reviews, people loving you, Ariel. So this person is unknown, but the title of this review is Ariel Helwani's The Bee's Knees, 5 stars. Of all the MMA journalists of all time, Ariel seems like the most complete human being by far. He's skilled, tough, smart, beautiful, has extensive world travels, and has lived in the third world for long periods.
Whoa.
He speaks multiple languages, tactical journalism and training enthusiast. He's a dancer. He went to journalism school. He's a podcaster. He's a dad. You can tell he genuinely has his stuff together.
Like I'm a
he
dancer.
He could probably be a millionaire running just about any business if he wanted. Are there any other journalists that impressive?
I agree. Can I get some respect around here?
You're a dancer?
I mean, I've
been
known to
cut a rag. You lived in third world countries?
Montreal, Canada, close.
Oh, well, and you're beautiful, too. Okay, lots of love from this unknown contributor. Next review
comes from
Matteo.
Yes?
5 stars, who calls it Ariel and the Good Guy.
Ooh.
Love the show. Been listening for years. Ariel, if you're going to do a show on the regular with Daniel Cormier, we did our radio show last Thursday night, it's obvious, call it Ariel and the Good Guy. Ariel, it's also very obvious that you do not have enough things to do, so have you ever considered doing a fight companion during any of the UFC events? Am I wrong to think that you watch some of these fights with one eye open, worried for the fighters that you like? Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir, Matteo. You know, I've actually pitched the, not fight companion, so to speak, but you know how we do pre-shows during pay-per-view sometimes, 7 to 8 on fight night? I've said, why don't Chael and I just watch the event and you put that on YouTube or you put that on Twitter? I've been talking about this for a long time, but no one has actually taken us up on this offer, and I know he'd be down to do it. As you saw earlier, or listened to earlier, we could just talk about a lot of things, right? There was no real structure to that, quote-unquote.
Yeah, I had no idea what you guys were talking about for
yes,
that time.
But did you enjoy it?
I love Chael.
He's the greatest.
I get enough Helwani. I need more Chael.
Yeah, he is the greatest. Well, maybe you do a podcast with him. But as far as Ariel and the Good Guy, I've heard people say that. I've thought of it, of course. I just feel like that's kind of a knock on the show that I have with Chael, and I don't want to pit Daniel Cormier and Chael Sonnen together. I don't think that's fair.
That is right? Fair.
You know what I mean? But I enjoyed it. Did you enjoy
our
first
episode? Oh, I love
that.
That was so much fun. I thought you guys were so good together. You guys had such great chemistry. It was a lot of fun. The callers were great. I mean, listen, midnight. No midnight radio show is getting that kind of love.
Absolutely not. No. I would love to do more. The current plan is to do it before UFC 249. Hopefully that actually happens. I think the fight will happen if all goes well, but you know, who knows what goes on as far as New York, or do they do it at the Apex? By the way, just saw this over the wire. How about this one for you, TST? Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, or DeWine, has told reporters that there will soon be an order for no mass gatherings in Ohio, which includes the first four in Dayton and the NCAA tournament in Cleveland.
Wait, really?
Yes.
No! I'm going to a concert in Ohio next month!
There you go. Well, next month you could be good. I bring this up because March 28th, the highly anticipated Francis Ngannou versus Jairzinho Rozenstruik fight is taking place in Columbus, Ohio. So let's see. Listen, I'm not rooting for any of this. This is all a big nightmare for everyone involved. We now hopefully appreciate our health and safety and being sanitary. And hopefully there's a lesson to be learned here about hygiene and washing your hands. Don't just do it now. Do it all the time. And I've talked to someone yesterday, like, I wash my hands, but then I touch the handle. No, you don't touch the handle. You take a paper towel and then you touch the handle. I've been doing these things for the last 10 years. And look at me now. Look at me now. Thank you. That was good. By the way, nice to see Brian Ortega apologize to Jay Park. I mean, could he have botched that whole thing from start to finish any worse? You get mad at the translator, right? You get mad at the translator. You go back and forth with him on social media. Then you see the guy. You approach him when the Korean zombie is at the bathroom. Whether or not you waited for that, who knows? You go up to him. You slap him. Then you boast about it. Then you delete that. And then you apologize and say, I can't wait to fight the Korean zombie. My big takeaway is you botched that one. But also, we need to see that fight, right? We need to see that fight ASAP. Ortega zombie. Now it has to happen, right? And I reached out to him. I like Brian Ortega. I think he's a really good guy. But I don't know what happened there. And I reached out to his management team, too, and asked them what happened. And didn't get much of a response. So, nice to see some kind of apology by the time the whole thing is, you know, this week has been wrapped up. But I just felt like that was a little weird the way the whole thing was handled. Anyway, Israel Adesanya is still the champion. We didn't talk much about him, but I've talked about him a lot over this past week, Monday, Wednesday, Aaron the Bad Guy coming up. So we have crossed that bridge. Zhang Weili, Joanna Jacek, great fight. And now coming up for the UFC, it is UFC Brasilia with Kevin Lee versus Charles Oliveira. That's going to be a great fight. Also, Bellator 241, Patricio Pitbull against Pedro Carvalho. I'm looking forward to that. That's on Friday as well. So enjoy those fights. Back next week to talk about it all. Thank you very much, Mark Ramundi. Thank you very much, Filthy Tom Lawler. Thank you very much, Chael Sonnen. And of course, Ryan Parsons as well for hanging out with us. Thanks to all of you for continuing to rate, subscribe, download, review, all that stuff and more. Thank you, TST. I love you all. I'll talk to you next week.